Today, we are back in the Windy City for another ballpark. This time, we're headed to the south side of Chicago to check out the Pale Hose. It's Wright Field, home of the White Sox and the Pope. This week on Ballpark Road Trip. This is Ballpark Road Trip. If you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on the show, we will be traveling around to each major league city, talking to locals who know their home ballparks inside and out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and today we are visiting Wright Field in Chicago. Later in the show, we will be talking to Luke Ziegler about catching a game on the South Side, but first, I want to tell you about my very first trip to the White Sox ballpark back in 2013. This was a part of my Yo-Yo and Coco Do America baseball tour. I was moving from Oakland, California to Boston for grad school, and just like I had done 10 years earlier when I moved from LA to New York, I decided to do a ballpark road trip along the way. And this time, I was going to document my trip in photos. Now, while I didn't have any garden gnomes to take with me to pose at different sites along the way, I did have plenty of bobbleheads. So, I chose my two favorites, Yoenis Cespedes and Coco Crisp from the 2012 A's, loaded up the car, and headed out with my ex-girlfriend to see America. Don't ask. We broke up before the trip, but it still seemed like a good idea. Anyway, we made stops throughout the American West, posing the bobbleheads in Reno, the Great Salt Lake Flats in Utah, the Corn Palace in Nebraska, and Mount Rushmore in South Dakota before heading down into Iowa. Now, if you're a baseball fan, there is one big reason to go through Iowa, and that is to go to Dyersville to see the Field of Dreams movie site. Now, I went in 2013. This was way before the site had been renovated to hold an MLB game, so there was just the cornfield from the movie and the main house. It was a really cool experience, everything I hoped it would be. Except that it was raining. I went out at 9 a.m. before heading back on the road to Chicago, and there was just one other fan out there. Another A's fan. We were both taking pictures and wearing our A's gear, so random, but I got to run the bases, walk into the cornfield, and I even choked on a bit of hot dog in order to recreate the movie. I recommend a pilgrimage to Dyersville for every baseball fan, just like Cooperstown. By the way, fun fact, I'm from California, but because I was in the Music Man in high school, I know more towns in Iowa than any other state in the Union besides California. Dubuque, Des Moines, Davenport, Marshalltown, Mason City, Keokuk, Ames, Clear Lake, and then you throw in Iowa City, Dyersville, that's 10. I never thought I'd know 10 towns in Iowa. Anyway, we got into Chicago the next day. We had it planned perfectly. We would go to Wrigley for a Sunday afternoon game, see some sights on our second day, and then hit U.S. Cellular Field as the White Sox came back in town. I drove to the ballpark since I had my car and parked, and I'm guessing where the old Comiskey was. I took a couple pictures outside of the stadium before going in. You know, it's not Baltimore or Denver or St. Louis, but there were definitely nods to the facade of Old Comiskey Park, which I wish I had gotten a chance to see. I don't know when they did the renovations to Wright Field, but I liked the third deck with its overhang and concourse outside. I walked around the ballpark and really enjoyed the space they have in the outfield. I think it was the Xfinity Zone then, or something like that. I don't know if they've changed sponsorships. But all in all, a good trip out to the ballpark. Very different experience than Wrigley. But I like my ballparks to feel unique from each other, and this felt like the south side of Chicago, whatever that means. Now it's time to turn to our local, Luke Ziegler, who's on the ground in Chicago, to learn all we can about Wright Field.
Wright Field.
So
You've been living in Chicago for about how long now, Lucas?
Like 11, 12 years.
Okay. And then before that, where were you? You've been Midwest person your whole life?
So I moved down to Chicago like literally like 2 weeks after I graduated. Lived in Milwaukee. Graduated college, moved down here. Met my wife Vanessa literally 2 weeks after moving down here. She's from Stockton, California originally.
Oh, great.
So we moved back to the Bay Area for like 2 years, and then cost of living things happened, and decided to come back to Chicago.
How long have you been going to White Sox games since you arrived?
Since I arrived, being from Milwaukee, was a Brewers fan, so I knew I couldn't be a Cubs fan. Just had to, literally first day I moved, adopted the White Sox as my team from down here, so.
Well, you're going to be our right field expert today. Now, granted, these couple years are a little different, I'm assuming. With this podcast is hopefully going to reach people far beyond the 2024 and 2025 seasons when the White Sox are having some issues, and maybe finding a ticket to a White Sox games is very, very easy. But we'll talk a little bit about that as well as what you've experienced throughout your 12 years that you've been here, maybe when they were in a little better times. But about how many games do you think you get to go to a year? How many do you like to try to get out to?
There's pre and post children. Pre children, my record I think was like 25, 30 games.
Great.
And then with children, I'd say about like 10 or so we try to go to a year.
Are they old enough yet that they can join you at a baseball game?
We have two, so we have a 2-year-old and then a 5-month-old now. We've been taking the 2-year-old since he was 3 months old.
Oh, cool. Not by choice, I'm guessing. He had no choice in the matter. He's going to go and sit in as a blob wherever you take him, and you'll decide he
Correct.
likes baseball. Good. Yeah, that's what I would do
Yes.
with my kids. So,
That's what any good parent does.
yeah, right. So, when you go to games, how do you like to get to the games, and how do you recommend people get to games down on the South Side?
Yeah, so we're fortunate. I can see the stadium from our back balcony. So I have walked before. It's like a 35-minute walk from our house because we actually live even further south than the stadium. We have biked in. There's tons of bike racks out front that you can just like lock your bike up to. Train is probably the most common, I'd say, for people in the city. You can take the Green Line train there going north or south. Red Line as well. You can take that from downtown. You can take that from the far south side all the way down to like 95th Street in Chicago. And that drops you off like a half a block from the stadium, so it's a very quick walk from there. And there's also a couple of bus lines that'll take you there from the north side and from downtown as well.
Do you ever drive?
We have driven a couple of times now with like the kids. In and out is super easy. I believe going off last year's prices, I don't think they raised parking prices this year. But I believe it's like $25 for general parking, which literally would drop you maybe like a 5-minute walk from the stadium. So it's pretty compact down there around Wright Field.
Now, sometimes I like to go to a place and find like an Airbnb within walking distance of the ballpark. And you said that you walked, it took about 30 minutes. I would say that the reputation for the south side of Chicago is maybe a little sketchier or a little dangerous. What do you think about walking around in that neighborhood?
I had those same impressions when I first moved down here. You hear a lot of things said in like the media, and just Chicago kind of has a reputation for a certain level of crime, I guess, especially for the south side. Wright Field is located in Bridgeport, which if there's one thing about Bridgeport, it's a very working class neighborhood. You get a lot of teachers, you get a lot of police officers that live down there, you get a lot of firefighters, so you don't get a lot of crime at all down there.
Oh, okay.
Wright Field is a super safe area. We love hanging out over there in the Bridgeport neighborhood, even like on non-game days, like there's a decent amount of stuff to do down there, but totally safe. Same thing like taking the train down there from like downtown, like there will be tons of fans going down there, both White Sox fans, both opposing teams fans. So like there's really nothing to worry about there. If you go further south, like for me, like personally, like I wouldn't go like further south on the train past like 47th Street, but that's two train stops past where you would get off to go to
Oh,
the
gotcha.
stadium. But there's ample time to turn around there. So yeah, you're totally fine in terms of safety and everything.
Good. Now, famously, on the other side of town, Wrigleyville is considered a good place to hang out before or after a game. Bridgeport, is that close enough to the stadium that you would maybe walk over to that area after a game or before a game for something?
So that's the biggest difference I'd say in terms of just the location difference between Wrigley Field and Wrigley and just what the neighborhoods bring. Like the Ricketts family for the Cubs and for Wrigleyville, they've done so much development over the years and poured so much money into the North Side neighborhood. And that same level of investment hasn't really been seen around Wrigley Field. There are things to do in Bridgeport, just not necessarily like in the immediate area surrounding the stadium. So you have to walk a little bit to really get to a couple of decent places to kind of go before games. Like if you are dying to go to like a bar or like get a bite to eat before the game, the stadium's on like 35th and Shields, and if you just walk over to 33rd Street, there are a couple of places over there that are pretty decent. Like we'll go to Sticks and Bricks Pizza, which is over there, a really good wood fire pizza. Same thing like Turtles Bar and Grill, really good drinks like before the game if you don't want to pay like the stadium prices for a beer or two before you get in there. And if you're feeling a little bit more adventurous, up and down Halsted on 35th Street, there's a decent amount of like bars and restaurants and stuff over there, and that's maybe like I'd say a 5 6 minute or sorry 5 or 6 block walk from the stadium. Yeah, that's kind of our game plan usually, just going to Sticks and Bricks or Turtles and then going to the game.
Oh, good. Last question about outside the ballpark before we go in. Are there people selling things outside the ballpark, whether it's knockoff merchandise or hot dogs or anything like that? Can you save a little money by, purchasing some things outside the ballpark?
Yeah, so the Red Line station is right on 35th Street, like I said, a half a block from the stadium. As soon as you get up the stairs from the platform and get out the terminals, there's people out there selling, knockoff or not merchandise, people selling peanuts, selling sunflower seeds, people selling alcoholic beverages out there. Please don't say anything, which is awesome. But you can get a beer outside the stadium from one of the vendors out there for like $3 4. Same thing, like they have water, Gatorade, soda for like the kids. You won't see too many of like the food vendors out there. Yeah, I haven't seen anybody selling like hot dogs or whatnot just like on the street. But a good thing about the White Sox stadium that is different from Wrigley is there is a pretty solid tailgating culture for White Sox. So if you are driving in, you want to tailgate stuff like that, you will be amongst friends. Like they kind of like congregate together where one person tailgating will turn to like three or four or five people just kind of all pitching in together and having a great time.
Oh, that's great. That's cool. That's something different than Wrigley because Wrigley doesn't have that big parking lot surrounding it. So you've got it right.
Correct.
Well, great. All right. So I'm assuming these days it's pretty easy to get a ticket to a White Sox game. How do you go about getting tickets? Do you go through the team site or do you find tickets a different way?
It depends what I'm trying to do. So the White Sox do have a couple of decent like promotions that they kind of carry throughout the year. Like for instance, like they'll do $5 Tuesdays where it's like a pretty solid amount of concessions, including like Modelo beer and like hot dogs and nachos and stuff will be like $5, which going to a professional sporting event, that's a steal, in my opinion. So for like things like that, if the secondhand marketplace like doesn't have a lot of tickets for those days, like I'll just kind of go on to the team site and get a ticket for that. Same, they'll do like a promotion where it's like you can buy a ticket to the game and get two beers like with your ticket. Again, you have to get that straight through the stadium ticket or the team ticket office itself. But for most days, like I will just scour StubHub or whatever other ticket site and kind of I'll try to get the ticket like the day before the game. Usually the day of the game, you'll see a slight bump in ticket prices. But if you go like the day before, like you can kind of sit wherever you want for like a pretty decent price.
Great. And so where do you like to sit? Where would that be for you? Where it do you have your kinds of seats that you specifically like, or do you have places that you would recommend that people sit? And by the way, before you answer, I like to kind of, disregard first deck right behind home plate. A lot of people like to sit there, but in
Yes.
this stadium, where would be a good place to sit?
So I kind of I'm what you would call a roamer. I like
Me
to
too.
just roam and do all of like the vantage points that I possibly can. Obviously, like you said, right behind home plate, great. You can't go wrong sitting in any ballpark right behind home plate. But my honestly probably favorite spot to sit at right field is all the way in the upper deck, between like anywhere between like first base all the way wrapped around to like third base, like that whole entire area. I know some stadiums, like I've been to believe 9 stadiums in my life, and I've sat in the upper deck in the majority of them. Like they have a way to make you feel like you're very far away from the action, whereas like right field, the upper deck is a little bit steeper than most places I've been to. So you feel like you're more so on top of the action for sitting that high up.
Does that steepness become an issue if you maybe are afraid of heights or have issues being that far up as opposed to a normal or another third deck?
I would say probably. Like I've been to so like Miller Park or American Family Field, whichever you want to call it, up in Milwaukee. Like there, the steepness of that place is where it's like you're not really sitting like above the person in front of you as much, whereas like right field, like you are sitting like almost that full person above the person below you. So it's like you really feel like you're leaning out over the action more so than another place. So if you're afraid of heights, I would say steer away from the upper deck at right field, and probably go towards one of like the lower level corners, if that makes sense.
Is there a sun side or a shade side if people want to stay out of the sun on a day game?
Yes. So if you want to stay out of the sun for a day game, you're going to want to sit on the first base side.
Okay.
But like right field is, it's not close to the lake, but it still gets a breeze off of Lake Michigan. So if the wind is coming out of the east, you are probably better off sitting in the sun because the, sh or at least dressing a little bit warmer because the shade area can get really cold
Oh, yeah.
really quickly. Even in the summertime, like there'll be like a 15-degree difference between like the shade and like the sunny spot.
All right, well, let's talk about that a little bit. How should you dress for a White Sox game at different times of the year? April's still pretty cold. What's the seasons like? Oh, at least for the baseball season.
Yeah, April's still pretty cold. Like I've gone to opening days where it's been flurries and 30 degrees. I've gone to games in April where it's been like 75 degrees. So if you're coming, especially if you're coming from out of town, double check the weather. Even then, I would pack for all seasons for like an April game, even in a May game, because just given the proximity of Chicago to Lake Michigan, a lot of the times like the weather can literally change in 2 hours, and you could think like the AccuWeather could tell you, yeah, it's going to be 7 degrees and sunny, and then you get to the stadium and it's 52 and cloudy, and you're just like, what in the world
Oh, yeah.
just happened? So it's very similar to, I feel like going to a game at Oracle Park where the Giants play, where it's like the body of water has such a way to dictate the weather, where it's like you literally have to prepare for everything just for those shoulder seasons in spring and fall. Summer, it's usually pretty consistent the whole entire time around. Summer nights, like at right field, are amazing. Like it stays warm the whole entire time. And then you get the beautiful view of the skyline when you kind of like leave the ballpark and whatnot. So it's nice.
Great. Are there any places to avoid sitting at Wrigley Field that maybe you would say, hey, you might want to sit somewhere else, or you might want to sit somewhere else if, like you already mentioned, the top deck, if you're a little scared of heights, maybe that's a good place to avoid. But any sections or places that you would not be caught dead sitting in?
I'd say two places. So the corners by the foul poles at right field, they're not bad seats, but like you're probably the furthest away from the action I think that you could be, especially for being on the lower level.
Oh, on the first deck
They,
too.
yeah, on the first deck too. Is the like so it's weird, like the angle of like the corners there, like for some reason, like I feel like you can't see the field that well from the corners on the lower level there. So I would avoid those. Like it's probably the cheapest face value ticket you can get to get on the lower level. Like typically, even from like the box office, those are like $20 a piece. So you can get down there and you know just kind of sit wherever you want from that. It's so like if you have to like get those seats, like if you're going to like a Cubs like Sox game or like a Yankees game, or if the Dodgers came to town, like it's fine just to get in the door and be on the lower level down there. Second place that I wouldn't sit is anywhere in the club level at Wrigley Field.
Why is
I feel
that?
like a lot of stadiums like their club levels, like it's usually like elevated, like food and beverage, like elevated amenities, like you know, bars and things like that. Wrigley Field doesn't have that same level of like quality to it for like their club level area that's accessible to like fans and whatnot. So it's not really worth like the bang for the buck in terms of like the excess like cost it takes to like get a club level seat.
Oh, that's some good advice.
Yeah, like the vantage point's fine, but like you don't like. Yeah, you don't get any like elevated like premium stuff like you would at like Oracle Park or like American Family Field or if you went to like Petco or something like that.
I wonder if Wrigley Field is old enough. Like, when I went to games at the Coliseum as a kid, the second deck was the plaza level, and it was less expensive than the first deck because it was higher. It was the second deck. And now second decks are the special club levels. But you got to have that, like you said, you got to have that, all those extra perks in order to really make that feel like it's something special and not just more money for further away.
The first time my wife and I sat there, like we had gone to or like because we were living in San Francisco, we went to a game at Oracle and sat in like their like the club like mid-level club level, and it was just like holy cow, like this is amazing. There's all kinds of like vendors. So like we moved back and we had never sat club level at Wrigley Field, and so we were like okay, like this is gonna be amazing. And we get there and it's just like kind of like a dingy carpet with like an older bar, and I was just like, oh, that's interesting. So like they haven't like invested like that money to like really bring that up to like being like a premium offering.
So if you want to splurge a little bit, it's better to get good seats on the lower deck close to the action as opposed to the amenities up in the club.
Yes, yeah. Like from what I've seen, like the amenities, like and like the food and beverage offerings on like the first level, like the concourse. Like those are premium enough. Like,
Great. Now let's say the people coming to this game are not fans of either team. Maybe they're just going to see the ballpark, or you're a little bit like me and you got ADD and about the fourth inning, you need to walk around a little bit. Are there any interesting places to walk around or visit or see inside the ballpark?
yeah, so there are a couple of places to go that I would recommend that just offer really interesting like vantage points of like either the field or interesting vantage point of like the city, especially if you go for like a night game. My favorite place to kind of like mosey on around is in dead center field. There is a view deck on top of one of the concession stands. Sometimes if you walk over there, they won't let you up there if like they're doing like a private party or something like that. But most of the time it's open to the public and you don't need like a specific ticket or anything like that to get up there. It has a really cool view of the whole entire stadium. And like you're sitting above the action, just kind of like below the scoreboard there.
Oh, cool.
That's one of my favorite places to watch, just for like an inning or two. Gives you just like a different like perspective of like the ballpark, because like I feel like a lot of places have center field kind of like closed off, and it's like at right field, like you don't have that issue.
Anything else to do in that area out there in center field? I feel like it's kind of a place that people gather a little bit, maybe either during the game or before the game.
Yeah, so if you got kids, speed pitch is going to be back there. There's usually a line for it, but it's free. So definitely check that out. Also, if you want to get the plaque for like your first White Sox game, or like a little certificate,
Oh, yeah.
that little like minting area is going to be back there as well. Usually takes just a couple of minutes to go back there and get it. And then there's another area, just in right field, that I forgot to mention. It's called like the Miller Lite Landing. And you can get tickets for that, either for like group tickets or individual tickets. And it's sponsored by Miller Lite, but they have essentially like reclining chairs and whatnot that you sit in, as opposed to like a normal seat. And that's actually a really relaxing way to like watch a game, especially like if it's a super nice night. And you're just trying to relax with like some friends or like significant other, just gives you a lot of space, and it's just super relaxing out there.
Do you have to purchase those recliners, or do you have to be in a group, or can it be available for like individuals looking to sit there for a game?
So you can do individual purchases, or you can purchase for like a group.
Okay.
And there's like three different levels, because one of the levels I believe is on field level, and then it kind of just like goes up from there. But yeah, I've seen them where you can just get individual seats, if you want to just kind of go with like you or like your kids or your significant other or whatnot. Second favorite thing is like two different spots to watch the game, over by the bullpens. The White Sox bullpen, you can literally get up right next to it. So I like to go over there like before the game starts, when like starting pitchers are warming up, or like kind of once they start warming up, like for like the relievers. That's really cool, because you're literally right on top of the action. Really good vantage points of the field itself. And then they just switched to Miller as one of the main sponsors, and they partnered up with Linekugels. So they do like a it's called like the Liney's Lounge. It's down right by like field level, by right field in the outfield. And they have this whole entire like craft beer set up down there, but you can walk right up to the fence, where like the visiting bullpen is, and you can watch their pitchers warm up and like all the interactions with that, and then you can kind of watch the game at field level, like through the fence.
So these areas are ticketed or not ticketed? You're able to, is it that the ushers are being nice and by letting you go up there, or is this a place that anyone can walk up and take a view of the visitor's bullpen?
That's open to the public.
Great.
Yep.
What about the security guards there, especially during this time? Are they pretty, or the ushers at least, not the security guards? Are the ushers pretty punitive? Are they checking your tickets? Are they being reasonable?
I will say that the ushers at right field, they really don't care.
Great.
As long as you're the only time I've had a problem is like if I'm trying to go all the way down like by like the dugout,
Yeah,
like
sure.
first 5 rows, like they're like, no, go sit in like the 7th row. I'm like, okay, that's fine, got it.
That's kind of how it was at the Coliseum, before the A's left. It was, you could sit wherever you wanted, except for the places people pay a lot of money for.
And then also like during like if like the Yankees come to town, or like for like the Red Line series for the Cubs White Sox, like they're pretty strict about that.
Sure.
But that's mainly just because the stadium's full. Probably the best thing, like if you want to get like the best vantage point possible for the cheapest amount of money, like come to like a day game during the week, because typically they won't even open up, like they won't even open up the upper deck for those games.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They'll just have everyone just go down to the lower level. And just kind of sit wherever you want, as like a free for all, which is amazing time.
Oh, that's a really cool kind of feature. Any places to get a little White Sox history at the ballpark? Do you guys have a Hall of Fame or a place with plaques or anything there?
Not that I recall seeing. Like there's like historic things like kind of like placed like throughout the stadium. Like as you kind of walk around, you see it. But nothing really like dedicated to like the history. Like when you walk up like outside, like you'll see like a little like Walk of Fame and stuff like that. But nothing over the top like I've seen at like other like stadiums where it's like they have their dedicated like this is like the wall of like you know great players and whatnot.
Okay. Let's talk food because I like to eat at the ballpark. What about you? Do you like to eat at the ballpark, or do you like to figure out ways to save money by either bringing things in or eating beforehand?
I'm a little bit of both. It depends which place I'm going to, like what stadium I am going to. Like Wrigley Field for me has amazing food. Like they're always adding like different options. Like I haven't had a chance to go to a game yet this year, but I know they added a bunch of different options from like the last couple of years, so I'm excited to go and try them out. But like the food at Wrigley Field has always been fantastic, and like the portions there I feel like are bigger than what I get at a typical stadium. Like they do a really good job concession wise, like taking care of the fans and making sure like prices aren't too high. And like I said, like your portions are like are I feel like they're big.
Are there any dishes or, I don't know, concoctions or inventions that you've wanted to try? Or you say, there's no way I'm trying that. I know Cleveland has their Fruit Loops dog, which you either want to try or you have no interest in. So anything like that at Wrigley Field?
No, Wrigley Field actually keeps it pretty like traditional with their stuff. They did have these. I need to see if they're there this year. I've been wanting to try them. They're like these ice cream shakes that had like this like cake type rim to them like the last like couple of years, and it's like one of those things where like you see it walking by and you're just like, where did they get that from? I want to go get that. But haven't had the chance to try it, so I'm really hoping they still have those this year.
Well, then what should people try? Is there something that Chicago's known for or Wright Field is known for?
So like for me, like we always get the helmet nachos. I feel like their helmet nachos are like leaps and bounds above any stadium that I've been to. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but like a lot of stadiums I've gone to lately have kind of switched. This is gonna sound really, really picky, but whatever. Have switched their nacho presentation to like these pre-made like plastic cups
Oh
that
yeah. Oh yeah, that's
don't give you enough cheese sauce.
No, you got to order an extra one. I think that's why they do it, so that you have just enough that you need to order a second
Yes.
one.
Yes. Wrigley Field, I've never had the problem of ordering a nacho cheese helmet from the concessions there and asking them to put the nacho cheese on the helmet. And they always do it. And they always ask if I want more. And I say yes. And they'll charge you for it. But like they at least put it on there as opposed to I've been to other stadiums where they're just like, no, you got to put it on yourself. I'm like, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
I would like it drizzled all over, please. So they do that there, and it's phenomenal. But we get like the deluxe like nachos there, and it's like it has everything. It's like lettuce, like salsa, sour cream, peppers, the cheese sauce. They do like actual like grated cheese on there too. It's so good.
I'm assuming there is a main team store for people to get all their souvenirs and merchandise.
Yes, so they have a mini team store inside behind home plate that's really solid. And then if you go, because there's a bridge that you have to cross if you come in from the north side of the stadium and you're going across 35th Street, there's a bridge that you can cross to get into the stadium. And before you cross that bridge, there's an entrance there that leads down to like the larger team store.
Okay.
And that has like literally everything that you could possibly want in terms of like souvenirs and like team memorabilia and stuff. And there's also a second area in Wrigley Field also. This could be behind third base that has like a lot of like game used items and like autographs and things like that. So you can, if you're interested in that, like they got jerseys and I've seen bats in there and like bases and whatnot, all signed like game used stuff that you can go and pick up from there.
Let's talk about atmosphere. Can people feel safe wearing their team's jerseys if they are a visiting team or a visiting team's fan?
Again, I'll caveat this with when the White Sox are good and when the White Sox are bad. When the White Sox are bad, people are happy that people are at the stadium. It's just like, yep, like, you know, we're not fighting for anything. It's fine. You know, when the White Sox are great, you know, like those rivalries with, like, you know, the Tigers, like, definitely happens. I wouldn't call it unsafe by any means, but like, if you're a Tigers fan, you come and you're talking a bunch of like trash, like a person from Chicago is going to put you in your place a little bit and tell you, you know, don't be disrespectful. Don't do that. You know, Cubs White Sox stuff, like there's always some bad blood going on with that, especially when the White Sox are good and the Cubs are good at the same time. But I'd say in general, like, yeah, wear your stuff with pride. Just don't be disrespectful.
Let's say people can only go to one game while they're in town. They're in town for the weekend and they have either a Friday night, a Saturday, I don't know if you guys do matinees or nighttime on Saturdays, or a Sunday day game, and they can only do one. What would you recommend they do?
I would probably say do a Saturday night game if you can do it. It's like the perfect, because like the games will start either at 6:40 or like 7:10, I believe. So it gives you enough time to grab an early dinner at a restaurant downtown and take the train down to the game at the same, like all like without really having to worry about a time constraint. Because if you're staying downtown and you're just in town for the weekend, you can get down to Wright Field by train in 15 minutes. And there's four or five different red line stops downtown that will take you straight down there. So you have enough time to grab a nice dinner, go back to the hotel, get your stuff on and get down to the game and not really miss first pitch, which is nice. And then, like I mentioned earlier, if you go to a night game, Wright Field has probably, I think, the best view of downtown with all the lights and everything. You're going to need to go all the way up to the upper deck, but there's a little concourse like that overlooks downtown that has a Chicago sign like in White Sox colors. So it's a great place to take like a nice little family picture if you're there with like your significant other, a nice little romantic picture with like the city skyline just all lit up in the back. Really, really nice spot just to kind of like finish off the night.
Well, cool. Lucas, thank you so much for joining me. This has been a great talk. I'm glad that I found you and was able to talk to a White Sox fan who's still going to games. And, again, this podcast will last a lot longer than this harsh couple of years. So, you know, hopefully people will be scrambling to get tickets again.
We are hopelessly optimistic that they will turn it around. But that's fun sports.
Yeah. So, all right, Luke, thank you so much again. It was really nice talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Now let's see how Chicago scores as a ballpark road tripping city. I like to do this at the end of every episode. I go over the five categories that are important to me: ballparks, baseball-related activities, food, tourist attractions, and filming locations. Let's see how Chicago does. Ballparks. Well, there are two great ballparks in Chicago. Well, there are two ballparks in Chicago. So you can go to both of those. That makes it a great city. So let's say 5 out of 5 for two ballparks. That's fantastic. Two games in one city. Activities related to baseball. Well, you could go on a Wrigley Field tour. That's really cool. But there aren't many. You could go see home plate over in the parking lot outside of Wright Field. So I'm going to say 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5 for baseball-related activities. Now, food could also be considered a baseball-related activity because you could go to the Billy Goat Tavern. You know, the Billy Goat Curse is very famous there, but that's also where you could get the famous cheeseburger from Saturday Night Live. Speaking of places from TV, you could go to Mr. Beef to get some Italian beef. That's from The Bear. You can also, you know, get yourself a Chicago dog or Chicago pizza. So, yeah, great food options, I'd say, in Chicago. Plus, it's a pretty international city, so I'll say 5 out of 5. Tourist locations, you know, there's tons of stuff to do in Chicago. I remember when I went across the country, I looked up on TripAdvisor, what are the best tours like anywhere in the country? And number one was Alcatraz in San Francisco, but number two was the river skyscraper tour in Chicago. They take you down the river and talk to you all about the buildings, and it's a fantastic tour. So you could do that. You can also go to the famous Chicago Art Institute, the Shedd Aquarium. I like the Art Institute not only because Ferris Bueller's Day Off was filmed there, but also they've got some really cool paintings. I like Sunday in the Park, the George Surratt painting. Filming locations, I already mentioned Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You know, you've got a lot of The Dark Knight was filmed in Chicago. So Wayne Tower is a real building in Chicago. You can also go down to the train station where they filmed the famous scene from The Untouchables. And you can bring your baby stroller and your baby and push it down the stairs. So yeah, it would be a lot of fun. So I'd say 5 out of 5 for filming locations. That gives us 5, 10, 15, 24. 24 out of 25. Pretty good as a ballpark road trip in city. Not bad. All right. I'm going to end the show with my favorite feature of Rate Field. I'm going to say my favorite feature of Rate Field is the nod to Comiskey in the architecture on the outside of the ballpark. It could be the exploding scoreboard, which I don't think is really exploding anymore. And, you know, scoreboards have become so advanced now. I think it's that outside architecture that still, you know, those arches and those windows that still make you feel a little bit like you could be walking into old Comiskey, just a little bit. All right, that's our show. I'd like to thank Lucas Ziegler for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great ballpark. Until then, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, we'll be back next week with another great ballpark. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at Tours with Jacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.